There, a little bit about the Lord and the incarnation and his mercy. It tells us in the book of Hebrews, this is not our text for today, unless the Lord wants it to be, but in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, this is what it says. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death. That is, the devil. We're flesh and blood. How many knows we're flesh and blood? How often are we reminded we are flesh and blood? Your limitations, your wrestlings, your fears, your worries, your pains, your sorrows. We are flesh and blood, fragile, needy. How many needs them? But what I love about this passage, and again, I have not studied this for today's message, just reading it. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why would he do that? How many believes God knows all things? He knows it all. He witnessed humanity from his inception and his frailty. After the fall, he's seen the bondage of corruption. But he himself likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. You ever heard that the devil's a defeated foe? He really is. He really is a defeated foe. He doesn't want you to know that. He will do everything he can to camouflage the truth that he is a defeated foe. He would like you to believe that he's just as powerful as God is. And sadly, some people believe him. Right? He would love to have you hoodwinked to believe that he has some unharnessed ability to do exactly what he would like to do. But no, we are flesh and blood. Christ took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. I like to read that and read it loud enough for the devil to hear it. Amen. Not only to defeat the devil and deliver them. Who's the them? It's us. Can you say that's us? Who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There was a time that death had a horrible sway over all of humanity. It would pin us down. It prevented complete presence with God. But Jesus Christ, who came down, put on flesh just like you and I've got. He had a body just like you got. It wasn't some supernatural body. It was a fleshly body. He hurt. He hungered. He thirsted. When he went to the cross, he fell it. Why? Through his death that he could destroy him that had power over death, the devil. Why? Because of them, us, who had a fear of death and all our lifetime were subject to bondage. How many knows we are subject to bondage in this flesh? Now, death is a very inconvenient thing in life. It's never convenient, is it? Anytime somebody dies, we feel an inconvenience. We feel the sting of death, the bondage of it. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. I want to stop right there. That'll be enough right there for your heart to rejoice. How many knows it had been a step down for him to become an angel? That had been a step down. Do you know how far down he came to be wrapped in this flesh like you and I are? I want you to get this. Because while we were singing, this is what we were talking about. While some of you were worshiping, this is what you felt in your heart. He didn't take on the nature of angels. He didn't come down to the level of a Gabriel. And we look at a Gabriel and say, my, look how powerful Gabriel is. He came down to this filthy, rotten earth in the condition of the physical makeup of a man. We're so fragile. We're so fragile in our fallenness. But notice this, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And you say, well, we're not the seed of Abraham by faith. Yes, you are. You're not a Jew, but he was justified by faith, and so are you. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. You hear that? He called us brethren. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Two things here I want you to notice. Two things. A lot I could say here, but a few things. Number one, he died and destroyed him who had power over death. He defeated the enemy, the devil. Number two, not only did he die, but we know that he ascended. And now notice this, he's not some tyrant. He's not some, I told y'all should not have went down that road. No, he is a merciful. How many are glad to know that he is merciful? Has anybody needed mercy in their life? I mean, you messed up, you know? You didn't deserve his love, and you know you didn't deserve his love. But God, in the richness of his mercy, the God in the richness of his mercy says, get up, come to me, repent. Don't go that way. Yes, you shouldn't have done it. And no, I'm not going to pat you on your head and act like it was all fine, but I'm merciful enough to say, look, come to me. You know, in my years of ministry, I'll share this with you. And even as of here late, I have discovered things about people that breaks my heart. And I get mad, and I get frustrated. And then my heart hurts because you expect people to be what they say they are, right? But then all of a sudden you feel the mercy of God overwhelm your heart and say, I'm a merciful God. I'm a merciful God. That he might be a merciful and a faithful. How many's glad we got a faithful God? Again, he's merciful. He's faithful. We should be faithful, right? And we're charged to be faithful. We're charged to be integral. We can be faithful and we can be integral. But I've also seen people not be faithful. There's been a few times in my life I say I should have been more faithful in that area of my life. What do I do? God's holy. I can't climb that ladder. I can't bridge that chasm. I cannot jump. I cannot do this. What do I need? I need a faithful, a merciful, and a faithful high priest. And faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation. You ever had to be reconciled unto God? Originally, you were alienated. You were far off. You were not saved. You were distant. There was something between you and God. But Christ, as my faithful high priest, he's merciful, he's faithful, he's a high priest pertaining to the things of God. Why? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. Being tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you this? And I just feel this in my heart today by what I feel according to the Holy Ghost to charge you from these verses. I read these verses here some this week. I had no intentions of talking about it this morning. I'm telling you what I feel in my heart. Jesus Christ himself suffered being tempted. He was tempted. How many knows Jesus was tempted? In the wilderness. Tempted. Many times in his life. tempted. The Pharisees came to tempt him. The enemy came to tempt him. When he goes to Calvary, he's going to be tempted. But he's able to comfort them that are tempted. You get that? How many here has ever been tempted? Think about it. Some of you have been tempted in different ways. Lustfully. Tempted in your areas of faithfulness. Tempted in areas of your marriage. Of your parentage. You've not been as faithful as you should have been. You've been tempted towards neglect. Been tempted towards laziness. Been tempted towards fear. Been tempted towards doubt. Been tempted towards wavering. Whatever the temptation is. And no doubt, there's a plethora of temptations that comes even to a congregation this size. How are we comforted? How can we overcome? How can we be secured? There's one that is at the right hand of the Father, who is a faithful, merciful high priest. That's what I feel God wants you to hear today. That's what I feel in my heart. I've got a sermon here outlined. Easily could preach it. But I tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to be reminded, as you've already been reminded, that He came down, He died, He won the victory, and you do not have to be a failure. You don't have to be a failure. Why? He's merciful and He's faithful. He's merciful and He's faithful. What is mercy? It's when He gives you what you don't even deserve to some extent. You deserve judgment. Think of the prodigal son. What did he deserve? According to the Old Testament, the prodigal son could easily, as a rebellious child, be stoned and killed. He could have been. They could have took him out in the village square. His father could have cast the first stone. Could have. But notice what the father did. He didn't stone him, he embraced him. That's mercy. That's mercy. Let me tell you what God did for us at Calvary. He didn't stone us, he embraced us. Kissed us. He loved us. He took on what we were. He won the victory. You don't have to fear death and corruption and sin. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Thus saith the word of the Lord. This is what God wants us to hear. I don't speak lightheartedly about these things. I feel the witness of the Holy Ghost that the Lord wanted us to sing that song, and He wanted us to understand this truth. Who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Go ahead and tell Him who you are. Tell Him. Lord, I ain't nothing. Lord, apart from You, I'm nothing. Yeah, confess to Him what you did, if you've done something. Lord, Yes, I did this. Who am I that He would die for me? And you know, God in all of His righteousness and holiness could rush in with righteous indignation and judgment on us all like a tidal wave of divine vengeance. He didn't do that. He didn't do it to Adam and Eve. They sinned. You broke the one prohibition. Squish them and get them out of the way. Right? Start over. Adam, Eve, the way's going to be hard. Those aprons ain't going to do it. Here's a coat. Here's a promise. I'll come again. He came. He came. Brothers and sisters, you are living on this side of the covenant. You've got no excuse because you got a merciful and a faithful high priest. Can we lift our hands towards heaven and say, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, You came by this service. Lord, You have already begun touching hearts. And I do believe that at the expounding of the word, You're going to finalize something in somebody's heart. There's going to be somebody in this service that yields to You in a special way. Holy Ghost, I ask you to quicken hearts. It's not my voice. It's not me that does this. God, you are the one. The gospel is powerful. It's powerful. Not because of enticing words. Lord, the gospel is powerful because it's empowered by God Himself. It's empowered by God. You are the one that saves. You are the one that sanctifies. Lord, you, this is your gospel. This is your message. This is your church. This is your congregation. I am but an under shepherd called to be here. And I yield, Lord Father, to you. I yield it all to you that you do the work that needs to be done in these hearts. Oh, in these hearts. In every heart. In every soul. Oh, Holy Ghost, I feel your presence. I know you're here. I know you're here. Can we empty them pews in humble reverence? Find you a place to pray in humble reverence. Mean business today. Come and find you a place to pray. This is not a time for lightheartedness. It's not a time to think about lunch. It's a time to think about Calvary. It's time to think about Calvary. The Lord's given the altar call. The Lord's guided the service. His word has confirmed it. And the Spirit is working in your hearts as well as mine to quicken us towards an understanding of who He is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch your people.